Praise God. Well, we continue. There's only two more weeks left with the series that we're doing, from the Sermon on the Mount. And so we continue with that. So if you have your Bibles, sometimes I think, well, if you put it up there, you don't use your Bible, do you? There's something I like about bringing a Bible. And I like the leaves of the, not the trees, the leaves of the Bibles, to be heard. And we live in an electronic age, so if you've got your laptops and your iPads, whatever, praise God. We're going to read from chapter 7 of Matthew 7. And we're going to start from verse 15 to 20. Amen. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Amen. This morning I'm talking about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Amen. Any gardeners in this place this morning? Yes, put your hand up, don't be shy. Yes, you're a gardener. All right, any bad and good gardeners? Okay, there's not many, is there? Anyway, you gardeners, you know that to have a good garden, it takes time, takes effort. And you've got to put a lot of effort and a lot of time into it. And to get some good stuff, if you've got a vegetable patch, or you've got fruits, trees, or trees take care of themselves, really. But I just absolutely demolished my tree. I heard them crying when it happened. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Well, they weren't clapping their hands. They weren't clapping their hands. They were crying out. But they were so tall and so out of control. So I got somebody in with a chainsaw. And I pruned them. I got them pruned with a chainsaw. You don't prune with chainsaws, do you? No, you have them things called secateurs. Right, you just snip away there. Amen. The dictionary. I always like to go to the dictionary. The dictionary defines this word fruit. And when we say fruit, we all immediately think of apples and pears and grapes and stuff like that. Right? But fruit, right? The fruitfulness is a result. Right? It's a result. This is what the dictionary says. The result of an action and effort. It's an end result. When you go and pick those apples off the apple tree or go to the supermarket, it's an end result and you enjoy that apple. And it can bring rewards, enjoyment. The fruit of your labor, that's a statement that we do say at times, we can enjoy the fruits of our labors, the fruits of retirement. Okay, you've worked for so long, right? And then you retire, and then you get this little bit of a pension, what they call a pension, and you live on it. All right, few people recognize what I'm saying. John Maxwell, he's a great Christian writer. Leader, guru of leaders in the world. God, John Maxwell writes, fruitful people are effective people. Fruitful people are effective. If we don't bear fruit, we're not going to be effective in this journey of ours. I want to be effective. Do you? Do you want to be effective in your community? Do you want to be effective in your family? You know, amongst your neighbors? Effective, being effective. And have an influence in society. Have an influence where you live. Because we've all got a circle of influence. And yours is different to mine. And we all want to be effective. Fruit is the product of sowing. These are simple truths. So, you know, the Bible says, what you sow, you will reap. And that's a principle that does not change. It is set, right? You can't change it. What you sow, you will reap. Hallelujah. And that, in a spiritual context, is very, very serious, right? Or sober. It's very sober-mindedness, which is, I want to sow good seed. I don't want to sow bad seed. I don't want to sow stuff that I'm going to reap and I'm going to regret and I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life. So it's important how we sow. Just before the meeting, God put a scripture in my heart, and it's in Psalms at 126, 126. I didn't plan to read it, but it just ties in. And I'm reading from verse 5 and 6. Psalm 126. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When the farmer plants, seed for a wheat of crops or potatoes or whatever, right? That's fruit, all right? So it's not just the juicy things, you know, that we know there's fruit, but fruit. It's a produce. It's a result from what we have put an effort. The farmer's put an effort in, hasn't he? And this, in the spiritual connotation, is when we sow, when we cry, when we weep for the souls of men and women and young people, when we weep for our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, when we weep for them, friends, that is the kind of sowing that the Holy Spirit leads us into. Amen. It's the Spirit of God that will come upon us and bring compassion, and we will weep, just as that scripture said. Continually, it says, continually sowing, continually, you know, speaking that encouraging words, continually sharing with Jesus, with people about Jesus, you know, and just being who you are. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. You're a child of God. Praise God. And that's part of sowing. This passage of scripture in Matthew 7, 15 to 20, right? It is paramount that it is God's will and purpose for every child of God to be fruitful. It's God's will for you to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Now, when we're talking like this, it's very hard to comprehend. It's very hard to understand. And I'm not boasting. I'm not wanting to come across as somebody who is a tremendous fruitful person. No, I don't. I just want to illustrate what I mean. And I didn't plan to do this, but Ronnie, will you come out here? Please. All right, come out, Ron. Amen. Nice to see you this morning. I've known Ronnie for about 6 years.
Since a way out.
Yeah. Well, the way out's down there, all right? If you're... Sorry. But I've known Ronnie 6 years, right? No. And I'm just saying as it is, right? I'm not boasting, But I want to say that Ronnie is fruit. Ronnie is this is fruit, all right? This is fruit. And it's not the whole fruit and nothing but the fruit. I know he's a Cadbury's fruit and nut kiss, but when we get on a roll, we have coffee and he knows what I'm like. But he's fruit. You are, in your seat, you are fruit from somebody. Amen? Physically, Luke is the fruit of Athenia and Dave. Right? It's the fruit of Dave's loins. To put it in a Shakespeare way. But that's one kind of fruit. This is another kind of fruit. And it's visible. Right? And it's good. Right? And this is what the Bible is saying, that we want to have fruit. Now, you might have had fruit, or you've sown seed in somebody's life, but you haven't seen the result. Because one sows and another reaps what you sow. So your fruit can really be all over the world. You don't know. Right? But even in this nation, your fruit can abound beyond Billingham, beyond Teesside, but in the four corners of the earth, if necessary, because you've sown the seed. It's germinated, you know, and it takes a long time, doesn't it? You know? And Ronnie now is sowing seeds into his relatives, into his friends, and so it goes on. Thanks, Ron. God bless you. Yeah, and so it goes on, praise God. You know, and there's another kind of sowing that you don't see much, because that was a work of the Spirit, yes, but there's an internal work of the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Shouldn't say fruits, right? It's fruit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is, yeah, something that happens internally, right? And in Galatians there, I'll just quickly read it. We haven't all, but some of us know this very well. But the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, right, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. The fruits of the Spirit, they internally are within us, praise God. And it's releasing that fruit. We've got to release that fruit. It happens in an internal way, and it happens because if you walk with God and the Holy Spirit is with you, and you are in communion with the Holy Spirit, that fruit develops into character. We're talking about character here. Character is more important than gifting. You can be a very gifted person today, but you might not have a good character. You might have no character. Because character is those who persevere when they're under the trials. Character building is through the sufferings. Right? What's going on with Jean and Angela is character building. They're suffering. They are grieving. But their character is being built. They're becoming stronger through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. Did not God say in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply? Okay? It was a principle in creation. You know, be fruitful. All right. We think of that in a physical way, but be fruitful. Have children. And let your children have children. You know, be fruitful and multiply. There's a verse I like to draw your attention to, and it's a verse in Genesis. And when I came across this verse, I fell in love with it. I thought, yeah, I haven't read this for a while. Genesis 49. It's warm, isn't it? This is when Joseph has met his father after a long time and being in Egypt, and he has become so fruitful. He has risen because of his ethics and his morals and his love for God. The Lord has exalted him. And he is with his father, and his father says, "I'm dying. I am dying now." Right? Now, when we look at death, we tend to draw back. We tend to be, you know, "Oh, I don't want to talk about that." Oh, death. Well, death and resurrection is part of life. Death and resurrection. And Jacob is saying, "I'm dying, guys." Got the lads around him. "I'm dying." And he prophesies over his sons. He prophesies over them. And in verse 22, he comes to Joseph. And in verse 22, it says, "Joseph is a fruitful bough." Joseph is a fruitful branch. A fruitful bough or branch by a well. His branches run over the wall. Wow. Praise God. And I'm thinking of lots of pictures of the branch going beyond its circumference and its circle of influence, but broadening over the wall into another part of vineyard and something else. Joseph was a fruitful bough. Amen. When you die, you will be fruitful continually. You'll be fruitful in your life now. You'll be fruitful when you even die. How many times have you thought of somebody who's gone on before and inspire you? You know, they still inspire you. They still, my father, Father's Day, yeah, he inspires me. He inspired me. I gave him a rough time when I was with him. But towards the end of his life, the real fruit that was in him started to come to the surface. Because when you get to that Jordan River, when you get to that place where it is time, yeah, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. And we sing that song, Cornerstone, the third verse in Cornerstone. And when that day comes, and if the Lord doesn't come back, it'll come to all of us. We all will die. But death isn't something that we should fear, because death is victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is gone, because it's a glorious triumph. Hallelujah. And Terry, well, he's having a great time. He's having a great party in heaven. That's the time to party, friends, in heaven. Don't spend your time partying down here. Party. You're going to spend eternity enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Forever and ever. So my first point this morning is probably won't get through them, but we are identified by our fruit. That's my first point. Identification by fruit. We're all identified. By their fruits, in Matthew 7, by their fruits you will know them. By their fruits. That means by the way they behave, by the way they live. Because we're sowing all the time. We're living, and we're producing, and there are things that are happening. And identification. My identity is in Christ. My identity, people should look at your life and say, yes, they are a person who knows God. A person who has given their lives to God. Because Jesus is talking about false identity. The first verse, verse 15. False identity. Beware of false prophets. He says, they come to you like in sheep's clothing. But inside of them, they're like ravenous wolves. I've had some wolves, I've had some sheep come to the churches that I've looked after in sheep's clothing, and I'm sure every preacher has, every minister has. And I never sat back and let them devour the flock. The Spirit of God did what I asked. Expose them. Right? I hope everybody here is bearing fruit, because the scripture that I read was, if you don't bear fruit, that branch, you, because Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches, the branch is cut off. The people who's, you know, we say a statement, and I don't think it's true, that God never sends anybody to hell. Well, that's a wrong statement. He does. He does. The scripture, to prove that, he does send them to hell. Depart from me, you wicked and slothful servant. This was a servant of God. Depart from me. Depart. He sends them into the fire, the burning fire of hell. Yeah, because he's my God, and he's a God of compassion, and he's a God of justice. He's a God of justice, and you can't have justice if you do not hold dear to the word you have spoken. And he has spoken. Even in this scripture, even in Matthew there, 7. Every tree that does not bear fruit, it's talking about trees who were in the vine. It's talking about Christian people here. Every tree that does not bear fruit, bear good fruit, okay? It does say good fruit. It's cut down and thrown into the fire. You know, Jesus didn't mix his words, did he? Jesus spoke it as it is. Praise God. Starting to leak. He spoke words that were so uncomfortable to the Pharisees. Right? You are whited sepulchres. You're dead, you're whited sepulchres. You're snakes. This is Jesus talking to human beings. But these human beings weren't bearing fruit. These human beings were bearing bad fruit. They were hypocrites. They lived a life that wasn't backed up by what they were preaching or saying. That's a hypocrite. It's a falseness. We are identified by our fruit. And if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, and it's more than that, which I'm going to explain in a while. It's more than just having God's Spirit. You know, those number of years ago, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was saved, baptized in the Spirit. But what are you now? What are you now? That's the most important. Not what you were, but what you are. At this present moment in time, this is what counts. It doesn't even count what you're going to be tomorrow or the day before. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So Jesus refers, and I'm not going to touch it this morning, but he refers, if you want to read about the parable of the sower, you know, in chapter 13, he refers to some seed that doesn't, you know, people respond to the seed, but they don't grow. They don't have any root because they don't understand it. There's no deep understanding. There's no understanding. There's a phrase I normally say, no root, no shoot. Right? No fruit. No root, no shoot, no fruit. Your roots, my roots, need to be in God. And every day those roots become stronger. And so when the winds of storm, I'm not going any further. So I'll be touching on next week. And I don't want to touch on what Pastor Luke's going to say. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Matthew 15. My Father is the husbandman, or the gardener, the dresser, vine dresser. The Father is that. He does all the pruning. The source. The second point is the source of fruitfulness. Right? The source of fruitfulness. And I've touched on it. The fruit of the Spirit, amen, is the source. He is the source. That's why last week I emphasized that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get the baptism in the Spirit because you're not going to bear much fruit. Because it's the Spirit of the Lord that bears fruit. I'd like us to just look at a scripture in Colossians. Colossians chapter 10. It says that you walk, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing him. And this is what I'm emphasizing. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. Praise God. God wants us to do good works. Praise God, because fruit comes from that. Fruit comes from that. You put yourself out and you go and visit somebody or you do something for somebody, fruit could come from that. Bill Hybels wrote a book, say, just walk across the room. Just walk across the room. Because he was in a kind of a party session type of thing, you know, a fellowship in somebody's house. And he noticed a guy across the corner of the room. And God spoke to him. But he had to make the effort to walk across the room to go to this person and talk to him. And that is the process, that we do something. It's an action, right? Right, fruitfulness comes from acting upon something. And so Joseph is a great example that he is a fruitful bough. But the source of Joseph's success or fruitfulness, I want to say, is because he was in God. Because his worship was God. His adoration was God. God was all to him, everything. Joseph, an excellent man. And where did he get that excellent spirit? He got it from God. He got it from the Lord. Amen. And he was able, and he had a source. He had a well, it says. That branch was tapped into the well. And our well is Jesus. You see, Jesus is the vine. We are we've been grafted into the vine. We are part of the vine. And if we do not draw the sap from the vine, those things, you know, we're not going to produce fruit. We're not going to produce it because it's not how many people you can witness to, right? It's not how many miracles you can do. It's not how many how much you work in the church. That doesn't even matter. It's where you are in God, your relationship with Him, my relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, my communion with God. Hallelujah. It's beautiful, friends, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's my source. I've got to tap into that source. Just a minute. Can't see.
Praise the Lord.
It's those hormones again. Those women's hormones, I don't know, hot flushes. I am sick of these hot flushes. Not kidding. Okay, so our source, our fruitfulness has a source. The third point is the key of fruitfulness. And you've got to turn to John 15 for this. Right, John 15 is all about fruitfulness. Right, Jesus talks again about being fruitful, and I don't want to read it all, but it starts, I am the true vine. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Right, he repeats it here. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes away, friends. Yes, one. He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? So it bears more fruit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the key is further down. If anyone does not, right, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Hallelujah. If you are abiding in the Lord, you're bearing fruit. Praise God, abiding in me, and I in him, hallelujah. For without me, you can do nothing, verse 5. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. So abiding is in Christ. 10 times that word abide is said in that chapter. 10 times Jesus reinforces the need to abide in the Lord. Now what's abiding? Well, so what does this mean? Abiding in Christ. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. However, don't think he expects us to do nothing. Don't expect to do nothing. There is work. There is labor. There is doing for God. But without him, the doing's no good. You can't do it without him. Oh, you can make a good impression. Working in the church, you can make a good impression to pastors. You could make an impression, good impression. But that's not enough, friends. Jesus promised that he would ask the Father that he would send another comforter, helper. He will give you another helper, Jesus said. That he may what? Yeah. That he may abide with you. The purpose is that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is abiding, dwelling with you. Amen. And it says here, in the original language, when it's translated, that word abide means remain. Remain. Remain in me. I'm going to put my hand up. There are times when I'm not abiding. There have been times I'm not abiding in Christ. Now I believe this is a process, this is growth. Because to abide in Christ, you're learning all the time. You're getting to know him. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his sufferings and his resurrection, the power of his resurrections and the sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings. So Paul was saying, I still need to abide in Christ. You know, even though I do these wonderful miracles and the churches are being built, they're popping up all over the place. But I need to abide in Christ. I need to know him. I want to know him. Is that true today of you, friends? Do you want to know him? I want to know God. Well, watching the TV all the time isn't helping you. Playing golf isn't helping you. Even doing the garden isn't helping you. They're all nice things to do. But to abide in him is to get before him. Mary has chosen what? The good part. Good part. All the other things, yeah, we do them. The washing up has to be done. Carol? The hoovering. Carol? The DIY? Steve. Well, it used to be. Until I got so decrepit. I have to get somebody else to do it now. But anyway, that word abide means remain. What Jesus is saying, remain in me, my joy might remain in you. Verse 11, verse 16, that your fruit should remain. Right? That you should remain. Abiding in Christ. I've wrote this. Didn't get it out of a book. Abiding in Christ is loving him and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Having that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Having a love for his word. Wanting to spend time with him. Wanting to spend time with him, having the Lord as a real part of my work, of my family life, my social life, every sphere of my life. Remain in Christ. We receive from him. The fruit comes from him. The fruit is not our fruit. Remember that. Whatever is produced, it's not because of us. It's because of our obedience, yeah. And to bring this to a close, the Lord led us to that word, delight yourself in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, I think it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what happens, sometimes desire is put before delight. Now, if you do that, it's not the right way. Jesus said, I delight to do your will, O my God. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll have the right desires. Desire will come. Delighting in God. Right? Joy floods my soul. We used to sing a hymn. He abides. He abides. There's lots of people who remember this hymn. I'm rejoicing night and day. Should I sing it? I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. Since I see, for the beauty of is this, and the secret of my bliss, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. Alan? For the Comforter abides with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. He abides. He abides because I delight in him. If I didn't have a Gary knee, I'd dance and jump around, but I don't. My dear friend, plant seeds. You'll plant seeds today. Wherever you go, you'll plant seeds. Planting seeds is not specifically preaching the gospel. Planting seeds is a kind act. It's a smile. It's a thank you. When you really mean it. Planting seeds is letting bring out what's inside, the spirit of the Lord, right? I love Watchman Nee. His books are fantastic. And if ever there was a book to recommend, I recommend Watchman Nee's, right? The Release of the Spirit. And he's talking about inside us, the Spirit being released in our everyday living and activity. Release of the Spirit. Get it? You can read it in an hour or so. It's not that big. But the seeds. By this, my Father, and this is the ultimation, ultimate thing is that the Father is glorified. Right? God is glorified when we bear fruit. We're not glorified. He is glorified. Wow, God has done this through you and me. God has done this. Let God be glorified. Let his name be lifted up. Let us praise him, friends, and worship him. And let us allow, and I could say a lot more, but let us allow the Father to prune us. Right? There are things that in my life and your life, I'm sure, that need pruning, cutting off. There may be habits that need to die, and habits that need to change. That's pruning. God prunes them. Don't be, misdirected by the sins that easily beset us. Cut down the hours you watch TV. That's a good start. Give God his rightful place. Establish a time when you meet with God. Establish a time. If it has to be early in the morning, well, get up early in the morning. Establish a time. Develop that time. Develop your prayer life. Develop, these are areas where God prunes us. God disciplines us. Why? Because he is glorified when we bear much fruit. We bear more fruit. And when the professional prunes those roses, and prunes those bushes, you know, and in the vineyards, in the olive presses, the pruning goes on. Why? Because they want to get a better, bigger harvest. A bigger harvest. But there's got to be that place of cutting out the dead wood. Cut out that dead wood. Get rid of it, friends. If it's not helping you in your Christian life, I've always had the motto, get rid of it. Because it's going to kill you. It's going to rob you of the goodness of God. It's going to rob you. And we're going to miss. I don't want to miss what God has for us. Be fruitful. Yeah, be fruitful, friends. And let the Lord become that abiding place, that place of abiding in Him. Remain in Him. Father, I pray that you will receive, Lord, what this word has been this morning, that it will be acceptable, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to Thee, O God. And let it bring fruit. Holy Spirit, take the words that have been spoken this morning. Holy Spirit, birth them into your people. Lord, give them a greater desire and thirst, and let them delight in you. Amen. Amen. God bless you.